2 weeks ago at one of my later masses, I mentioned I had seen this Catholic cartoon that was going around, and it was a picture of the Vatican, and inside there was a cardinal talking to Pope Benedict, and the cardinal said to him, "You gave up what for Lent?" Well, now, of course, we are praying for a new Holy Father, and let us pray every day for a very saintly, another saintly and wise and strong leader, as we have had with Pope Benedict and John Paul II. We've been so blessed in these recent years with very saintly, wise, and very strong Holy Fathers. So this is the time to be praying now, as the cardinals will begin meeting to elect the next shepherd of the church who will guide the church, hopefully for many years to come. So it's very important that we all pray every day for that special intention. So today is now the third Sunday of Lent. And when we take a look at today's gospel, today the church gives us, I think, one of the most interesting gospels in the entire New Testament. Because it had to do with current events at the time of Christ. It had to do with a massacre that took place that Pontius Pilate had brought about. And then it also had to do with a natural disaster, an earthquake that happened when people were building the Tower of Siloam. And the Lord uses these examples to tell people that they have to be ready whenever the Lord calls them, because we do not know the day or the hour. So we must be ready, always be prepared, as we know from the Catechism and the teachings of the Church, that we have to always have this spirit of conversion and repentance to be ready for when the Lord calls us home. And it's also, I think, gives us some insights into the mystery of suffering. Why does God allow suffering in our lives? So take a look at this passage from Luke chapter 13. Some people approached Jesus and said, "Lord, did you hear about what Pontius Pilate did to the Galileans?" It says, "Their blood was mingled with their sacrifices." So this is referring to an event that had occurred during the time of Christ, where some of the Galileans, who were very zealous and very strong, had come down from Galilee to worship at the temple of Jerusalem and to offer their sacrifices. Now, Pilate, of course, was, if you study a little bit about him, you'll know he was the sixth procurator of that area. And it was a very, he was a very harsh man. We know that from other cases. And he ruled from 26 AD until 36 AD in that region. And to be assigned that particular outpost was a very unpleasant assignment. It was sort of a hardship tour because of what he had to deal with in that sort of in that outpost. And he was obviously rather hated by most of the Jewish people because he had taken money from the temple. He had built an aqueduct from it. He had put up pagan statues, Roman statues, within Jerusalem near the temple that offended the Jewish people. And on this occasion, we know that some Galileans had come down to offer their sacrifices, but they were very zealous, and Pontius Pilate was afraid that they would revolt and that a mob would occur and that he was afraid. And so what he did was Pilate had stationed soldiers all around the temples, and underneath cloaks were hiding their swords and their shields, and they were just sort of mingling with the crowd. And then at a particular time when these Galileans were there, perhaps the revolt began, these soldiers threw off their cloaks and began to slaughter these Galileans that had come down to worship and make their sacrifices in the temple. That's what the scripture means when it says that Pilate mingled their blood with the blood of their own sacrifices. And so it was a terrible massacre that had occurred. And so, what does Jesus respond to this, this current event, this terrible atrocity, this terrible tragedy? Because the people were thinking, well, maybe it was because these particular Galileans were more sinful and more evil than anyone else. That's why they suffered in this way. So Jesus answers this. This has to do with the meaning of suffering. Why is it that good people suffer? Why is it that, you know, some people get cancer and others don't? Why is it that some people are killed in a terrorist attack and others are not? Why is it that some people die and others don't? Is it because they were more sinful than others? Jesus says, no. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? Jesus says, by no means. By no means. And so, see, that was sort of the mentality. If bad things happened to you, you must have done something wrong. If bad things happened to you, you must be a greater sinner than everyone else. Jesus says, no, that's not the case. Then the Lord uses this to remind us that we must always be ready. We must always be prepared. Jesus says, I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Not obviously through massacre, but you all will all die eventually. We're all going to die. And unless we repent, we will not be saved. So we have to repent. And then the Lord, just to confirm this point, uses another example of a current event about these 18 people who were killed when these construction workers, they were working on a project, the Tower of Siloam, and an earthquake occurred and the tower fell and killed 18 of the dozens or hundreds of workers. Jesus says, do you think that these 18 were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? Jesus says, by no means. So it wasn't because these 18 were more sinful than any of the other construction workers. Jesus says, by no means. They were not more guilty than anyone else. They're not more sinful. But I tell you, Jesus says, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Not obviously a tower falling on us, but or a natural disaster, but we will all experience death. That'll happen to all of us, whether the Lord gives us 25 years, 50 years, 75 years, or 100 years. It's going to happen to everyone. And Jesus says, when you read about these disasters, whether it be something like a natural disaster or an accident or a tragedy, Jesus says, we shouldn't look upon that as thinking, oh, those people must have been, you know, more terrible than anyone else, or they were greater sinners than anyone else. It just should be a reminder towards us who are still here that we always have to be repentful. We always have to be filled with repentance. We always have to be sorry for our sins, to be in the state of grace, to be in the state of friendship with God, because we do not know the day or the hour when the Lord will come for us. So we always have to be ready. That is the point the Lord is making, that we always have to be ready to meet the Lord, always have to be in the state of grace. And that's why I think this reading is given us during Lent, because it reminds us of the importance of repentance, going to confession, getting rid of sin, being in the state of grace, going to that confessional, making a good confession. Because I know there's people that I've met that have not gone to confession in 10, 20, 30, 50 years, but they come to Mass every Sunday, even receive communion every Sunday. So we have to repent. Lent is a time of going to confession, of repentance, Jesus says, because we always have to be ready. And then, lastly, the Lord ends this passage by, again, another little story about always being ready and being prepared and bearing fruit and not delaying our conversion. And he tells a little story of a man who had a fig tree, and this fig tree grew, and for 3 years it produced nothing. So he was going to just cut it down. But then somebody comes along, the gardener says, No, let's give it some more time. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, then we will cut it down. Why does the Lord say 3 years? Because that was the 3 years of his public ministry. The Lord came to the people of Israel, and he spent 3 years teaching and preaching and offering them salvation, offering them conversion. And for 3 years, they heard the gospel message. Many of them did repent, others did not. So the Lord is that gardener, and he tells the Heavenly Father, I will go, and I will try to develop and to bear fruit among these people before the judgment day. And so this is the opportunity again that we have. We are still alive. The Lord is giving us this time of grace, this time of Lent, to pray more, to repent of our sins, to go to confession, because eventually the judgment day will come upon us. We have to render an account of our lives before God. So I think that this passage, again, is very interesting because it does give us some insights into the necessity of conversion and of repentance and also the meaning of suffering. So how do you deal with suffering in your own life? We should always realize that God only allows us to suffer to bring about a greater good within our life. So why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow tragedy or difficulties or natural disasters? It's only to bring about, ultimately, a greater good, our sanctification, our salvation. If you ever doubt that God can bring good out of what looks like evil, look at the crucifix. When you look at the cross, that is the greatest evil, isn't it? That we killed the Son of God. But there was also the good that God brought out of that to open the gates of heaven, to save us from our sins, and to redeem the world. Sometimes God gives us suffering to get us back on track. It's medicinal, like the prodigal son who went off and spent everything in a life of immorality and sinfulness. When he hit rock bottom, that's when he turned around and came back to his father. See, so sometimes if he did not hit rock bottom, he would not have had his conversion. Sometimes God allows difficulties in our life to get our attention. C.S. Lewis says that suffering is God's megaphone. It gets our attention, and it gets us back on the right track. And then also suffering is sanctifying. It's transforming. It refines us like gold in the fire. You know, if that gold could feel pain, it would not like to be refined in the fire. But why is it refined? So it becomes more beautiful, more pleasing in the sight of God. And the artist knows when the gold is perfectly refined, when he can see his own reflection in it. And that's why we go through sufferings in this life. God is, if he gives you any sufferings, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, whatever it might be, if we trust God, as the Bible says, it is for our benefit. It's God sanctifying us and making us more and more the image of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.